Hello and welcome to the Lincoln County Gardener, a weekly segment broadcast on KYAQ Newport, where the Lincoln County Master Gardeners bring you weekly conversations on a variety of gardening topics. Master Gardeners are local community members trained in scientifically based gardening techniques by Oregon State University Extension Service, so we'll be sharing research-based and locally relevant information. My name is Ross, I'm a Lincoln County Master Gardener, and I'll be your host this week. With me this week is Kathy Burke and Tara DeYoung, and today we'll be discussing sensory gardening. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So what makes a sensory garden a sensory garden?
A sensory garden experience is a mindfulness experience. Just being aware of your senses while you visit the garden and paying attention to things that maybe you wouldn't have paid attention to before. Mm-hmm. So I had my first sensory garden experience when I went to the garden and I happened to take a phone call that I had been waiting for, and I sat down on a bench and took my phone call, and then after it was over, I just sat for a minute. And I realized that the bees were buzzing past and they have a sound, and there were some beautiful pollinator flowers in bloom, and they were going back and forth between some lavender and some other flowers, and there were birds and the wind was blowing. And
I think it allows people to slow down a little bit, to take some time out of their busy life to interact and appreciate and be grateful for the environment that they have around them and the environment that they've maybe helped create. Yeah, it's something that you can develop as a practice and take it with you. So when you leave the garden, you maybe have more appreciation for nature elsewhere when you encounter it.
Yeah, absolutely. So you put in work both in the garden and in your own mind to sort of meet in the middle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think too, just especially if you're having a challenging time in your life, to sit still for a minute, even though sometimes when you have so many things to do that seems like you don't have time to do that, but it gives you the centering and the focus and the energy to be able to deal with the other things that you have going on in your life.
That's lovely. What are some design considerations then that you account for when you're designing a garden specifically to be a sensory garden?
Well, I think, you know, plant selection is important. Thinking how you're going to interact with that plant. Is there something about it that offers a particular quality? That's really important. As well as the basics of, is it going to be a happy plant in the environment I'm putting it in? You know, which is true for all plants, not just ones that you're cultivating for a sensory experience. So yeah, those are things that I think are important.
And I think as far as design, you have to consider all of the senses that you want to address. So, you know, there's touch, there's sight, sound, smell, and taste. And I invite people to taste at their own risk in our garden, because we don't use pesticides, but I can't guarantee there aren't some little bugs or bird leavings on those plants, or if people have allergies. So people should taste carefully. But you can certainly go to the herb section of the garden and crush those leaves and smell those things, or run your hands over a rosemary plant and get the feel of the rosemary, which is a little bit spiky and slidey, but then it leaves that wonderful scent on your hands. And in designing a sensory garden too, you want to have a place where people can be still for a minute. So a bench, a wall that they can sit on, a protected place even just to stand. It doesn't have to be a place where you sit. And then looking to designing for colors in the garden, you know, things that are flowering that have an array of different colors. And then sound sort of brings itself to the garden. It's also a matter of just sitting still and paying attention to it, Because you don't normally, when you're working in the garden and talking to people, hear the buzz of the bees or hear the birds or hear the wind in the leaves. And so making, again, a place for stillness for that is great in designing that.
I think a lot of people that are interested in this type of garden may want to consider a water feature as well.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yes,
that's a real comforting sound that kind of centers you a little bit when you're in a garden.
Absolutely, and it contrasts nicely then with other sounds in the garden, like the wind and the leaves and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And again, a subtle sound that you might not hear until you're still for a minute. Mm-hmm. So
how big does a sensory garden need to be?
I think it could be almost any size. You could make a small one in a corner of your yard, or if you live in an apartment and you wanted to try a small area on a patio in containers, I think, you know, it can be almost any size. It's really a creative endeavor that I think you can make your own by choosing the size that works for you.
Yeah, I completely agree with Terry that you can make a tiny sensory garden. You can have acres of garden if that's the room that you have, and it can all be sensory. It's kind of fun to vary the things. So in the Lincoln City Demonstration Garden, we have two benches, one on each side of the garden, and the view is quite different from both of those. The sounds are quite different from both of those. One is next to some pine trees, and you hear more of the wind and the pines. The other is where the flowers are blooming, and there you hear the bees and the birds, and you could even put a little wind chime in the tree. That would be a lovely thing. Or if you have a water feature, that would be lovely too.
You can pick which sounds and sensory stimuli appeal most to you as the garden creator.
Right. And we created the map for the Lincoln City Demonstration Garden just so that people could find the things that could provide a sensory experience, because they're not all in one location. Though we have one bed that was designed as a sensory garden with different textures of plants, different textures of leaves, things that you could touch that were soft, things that were velvety, had a variety of colors in that bed. There also were other things in the garden, such as the culinary garden, where you could get a lot of different smells. There's lemon balm and oregano and rosemary and other herbs that were there in the garden. And so we had a map so that you could direct people to those things where they could get that. There also is squash plants that are kind of pokey and other plants that were smooth that we used to direct people to. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of fun to walk around the garden and go, what would people like to see and touch? Mm-hmm. And what are the different textures in this garden? And go through by sense to say, where can I take people for that?
Mm-hmm. Do you have any strategies that you can use then to make a garden sensorially stimulating across the senses? We talked about this a little bit previously, but do you have any particular tips?
I think there are a number of things that you can do. You can plant ground covers that when you walk on them, they release scents and smells, or they have textures or sounds that come up when you walk on gravel, perhaps. You can have an area of more color or less color. Certainly the smells, flavors, colors of herbs when they're flowering. Bees love them. You always hear the bees in the herb garden. Different things like that where you can take a little piece and look at every sense in that garden.
So then, do either of you have any particular recommendations for plants to put in a sensory garden? We talked about herbs a little bit, but what else comes to mind?
Well, I don't think you have to get real exotic, although herbs are a good place to start. Lavender is good, easy to grow. If you give it some drainage, it does really well around here. Even something like salal, which a lot of people, you know, are thinking that
don't
that's
love
a
salal.
It's definitely not an exotic plant around here, but it does have an interesting leaf texture, a very waxy leaf. It's got a pretty little white flower. The berries are, you know, reasonably tasty and make a good jam. So, you know, there's thoughts of food preparation when you're out in the garden too. So that adds to the experience.
Colorful flowers, whether they're perennials or annuals, are really a nice thing to put into the garden. Even something as simple as marigolds, which have quite a particular smell to them, often come in very bright colors. Different sizes of flowers are great for bees. They love that. Certainly bigger, showier, colorful flowers like dahlias can be very nice, and you can find flowers that bloom at all times of the year. So even starting now, our garden has some daffodils blooming. Yeah, I think those are really great plants for that. Plants with different textures to the leaves or different colors, different varieties of certain plants. So you can get a solid color leaf or a mottled leaf on a variegated type of leaf on some plants can be very nice for that too. Geraniums have a beautiful smell. Deer love to eat them. So sometimes that can be challenging depending on what your neighborhood is for your sensory garden. We happen to have a lot of deer in the Lincoln City demonstration garden.
Not a lot of geraniums.
Not a lot of geraniums, no.
So where can people visit this sensory garden?
We are at the Lincoln City Demonstration Garden for the Master Gardeners Association, and that is located at the Oregon Coast Community College campus in Lincoln City, which is on High School Drive in Lincoln City.
Mm-hmm. When is it open to the public?
It's open to the public at all times because there are no gates or fences. Master gardeners are only there on published work days, and we put those in the Coast Today in the calendar when we're there. And currently, because it's a slow season for gardening right now, we don't have any published hours.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Let's get into some seasonal gardening information. This week, we'll talk about frost dates. Many seed packets will have information that says, like, sow seeds outside 1 to 2 weeks after average last frost, or start plants inside 4 to 6 weeks before average last frost. So knowing approximately when the last frost you can expect to experience is vital for the success of your garden. Planting plants outside too early will expose young, tender plants to temperatures below what they can handle, while waiting too long will cause you to both miss out on valuable growing time and can mean that the plants will be subject to higher temperatures later in their growing cycle than they prefer, which can cause bolting and heat damage. At this point, most places in Lincoln County are either beyond their final frost dates or fast approaching their final frost dates, so it's time to get planting and pay attention. The estimated final frost date is calculated based on data collected by NOAA's climate stations, which don't perfectly map onto cities and towns, so you sort of have to take frost dates with a grain of salt. Estimated final frost dates in the largest towns in Lincoln County are as follows. Lincoln City and Otis have a final frost date around April 18th, Newport and South Beach around April 1st, Waldport and Yahats around March 2nd, Toledo around February 28th, Eddyville around April 23rd, Depot Bay around March 28th, and Siletz around March 28th as well. That's it for our program this week, but tune in for future broadcasts on KYAQ Newport. You can find out how to contact us with all your gardening questions on our website, www.orcoastmga.org, where we'll also be putting these episodes after they air if you need another listen. We'd also love to hear your subject suggestions for future episodes of the Lincoln County Gardener. This broadcast is created by the Lincoln County Master Gardener Association, who work in collaboration with the Oregon State University Extension Services. Until next time, happy gardening!